coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Race the Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Day two at Saratoga after an odd opening day, a fanless and kind of surreal opening day. But we have now moved on. Day number two of the Saratoga meet. A little bit later on, Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association, Director of Communications, Capital OTB President John Signor will also join us. But I thought we'd start things out. We tried to get Mike McAdam from the Daily Gazette on with us by phone last week, and we had some phone problems, so I thought, why not have him live on the set? Mike here covering the racing, every racing day for the Daily Gazette, as he's done for a number of years. Mike, good morning.
Good to be here, Seth. Thanks for having me. It didn't work out last week, but these things happen. We have our own difficulties in the newspaper business, too. We don't have to get into the gory details of all that, but I know the feeling, so there's no big deal. It's cool.
Speaking of gory details and being a sports reporter, before we get into the horse racing side of things, how has sports reporting been over the past couple of months? And it's not just you. It's all the newspapers and the television stations. There's a lot of kind of remember when, and with no sports, it's going to be tough to fill the pages.
It really hasn't been, though. The opposite is the case, and I keep saying, I've said this a million times to the point where it's cliche now. It's amazing how much there is to do when there's nothing to do. I mean, there's no games to cover, sure. There's been, since March, there's been maybe a couple weeks where I've gotten to Sunday, and I work Monday through Friday, typically, until the meet starts. I'm thinking, okay, what are you going to do this week? And, you know, it's a big question mark, but most of the time, I mean, it gets a little tired after a while. You're writing a lot about cancellations and virtual road races and stuff like that. So it gets, you know, it can wear you out a little bit. But we have had no shortage of stories, and it actually kind of forced you to dig a little, snoop around to find other stuff that maybe you didn't have time for before, and you know, some featurey type stuff. So there's still a lot of storytelling opportunities out there, and I did take vacation a couple times, including my traditional 4th of July weekend, we've been really busy, and the section is smaller. We cut back on the size of the number of pages because there's no Major League Baseball, there's no pro sports, you know, a lot of wire stuff fell by the wayside, but we've been cranking right along.
Yeah, everybody has been filling the pages and filling the time. But like I said, there's been a lot. And you guys were doing kind of a best of the year. Those were kind of cool.
They were fun. They were very challenging. Yeah. I was involved in, I think, three of them, like the Siena basketball, all-time men's basketball, the Section 2 boys basketball, and I did the high school Section 2 girls track. And Billy McDonald, my friend over at the Van Dyke, I walked in there to get a cheeseburger a couple months ago, and he just said, you are terrible at these drafts. What we did was we had four people, and we had like six rounds, and you had to like draft an all-time, you know, in the case of Siena, it was like Kenny Hasbrook and Mark Brown and a coach. And so I took a lot of grief for that. But those were fun, and it's challenging, especially when there's like you're torn between three or four and when it's your pick, and we were going to try to do one for like all-time Saratoga racing, but we kind of fizzled out after we did about seven or eight of these things. But that was fun. It was like a weekly thing.
Yeah, that was fun. And now we are here live. Before we get to yesterday and how strange it was, I know you were one of the select folks down at the Belmont for the Belmont Stakes. What was that like?
I mean, it was similar to yesterday, opening day here, except Belmont's like 20 times bigger than Saratoga, so it was kind of a little stranger. Plus, I drove down with Gene Kirshner, our friend from the Buffalo News, and you come off the Cross Island Parkway, and there's a circular ramp on the Hempstead Turnpike, and boom, right in your grill, there's this gigantic thing that you've never seen before. It's like, it had one of these, dude, where's my racetrack moments, and it's the new frame and the skeleton of the New York Islanders NHL arena that they're building there. So that was the first thing. Then we get in there, and you're just walking around in a place where you've seen 90,000, 100,000 people for Triple Crown bids, and now there's nobody. You cover the race, and 'tis the law, boom, looked great, finish. There's no sound, and it pops in your head. You're like, okay, I got my headline, horse wins race. I mean, there's no context, no atmosphere whatsoever, and you're kind of grasping for whatever you can add to your story. And I think in my column, I estimated there were 200 people between NYRA workers, backstretch workers, media, whoever, kind of scattered around the apron and some of the box seats. And 200, I might have exaggerated a little bit. I mean, it really was kind of weird, especially there. But, you know, we got a taste of it at the Belmont, and then yesterday was very similar, although here it's supposed to be like that on a daily basis where there's big crowds. So I think it's going to get a little old quickly.
Yeah, it was – and that's true. Maybe yesterday was so novel that it kind of – oh, well, you know, I talked a little bit with Tom Law yesterday, and I said, you know, I'm always impressed that the NYRA, the Saratoga fans are so savvy that it's fun to watch horses come back to the winner's circle and get applause that aren't necessarily even stakes horses, but some kind of a story horse. But the crowd up here is so plugged in, it's a lot of fun, and that's just going to be a little bit absent this year.
And from a storytelling standpoint, I'm always looking for that kind of stuff to throw in there. That's detail that if you weren't at the track, and I can throw that in there, that's going to add to the story. And it's like, now, where's it going to come from? Yeah. And, you know, it's going to get a little repetitive, I believe, after a while.
You were here when Tis the Law arrived the other day?
Yes, and a couple of us were. Again, back to the sparse numbers, because they have to keep spacing, and they're very limited in how many people have credentials. Got off the van, looked like $1 million, settled in. They didn't really do anything with them. They didn't even walk them around the shed row or anything. We came back for he did a little light gallop a couple days ago and got some photos of him then. He looks great. He likes it here. The first thing he did when he got in his stall was he's eyeballing like this everything. I mean, he's on top of the situation and just looked like a very smart, alert, intelligent animal. But he also looks great. And I think they were going to try to breeze him today, but I don't know if they got around to that or not because of the weather. And he was on a very light, you know, just maintenance gallop coming out of the Belmont the last two, like, Wednesdays. So they'll probably get more of a weekend breezing situation pretty soon. But so I wasn't over there. I don't know what they did this morning.
And we were, Belmont Day, we were over at Pinnell's with the Sacatoga Watch Party. That was a lot of fun. Jack Knowlton and some of the partners. And it was fun to be over there that afternoon and kind of pull them in and talk to them a little bit. And then after the race, certainly. And that may change things up a little bit starting today because owners are going to be allowed over there. So that may change the atmosphere at least a little bit.
Yeah, I hope so. And we're going to be keeping an eye on that today. I checked with NYRA last night to see if they had a number. And he said maybe we can get one to you and you can ask Pat about this later. But I think because it got dropped in their lap at the last second, there's a lot of bureaucratic stuff that they have to get through, and owners may not have been prepared. I mean, if some have to travel, they're going to have to examine the quarantine situation. Oh, right. So today I'm not expecting a lot. I mean, we were kind of snooping around in the backstretch this morning to see if anybody was lurking around. It's just happened so recently that but gradually you're going to start to see some people. And so that'll change things, you know, subtly, or I don't know how substantially, but at least there will be some people here who aren't working here, which would be a change.
And when you sat down, you mentioned you'd been talking a little bit to Al Stahl, Tom's detente, looking forward to, you know, the Whitney. I mean, once racing got going again, there was some really nice racing, and then we saw horses like Monomoy Girl, Midnight Bijou, and Tom's detente, and a lot of that racing over the past couple of months clearly going to play into Saratoga, but we're looking forward to Tom's detente. Particularly when you talk a seven-year-old like that, that's going to be fun.
Well, that's one of the storylines, but another one, and as you mentioned already, and granted there aren't going to be fans here, but maybe, you know, TV or when they're watching it, they will identify with this horse because he broke his maiden back in 2016. When we were all a lot younger, and he's been back. I think he won an allowance the year after that. He won the Alidar last year, so he really loves Saratoga. So people can identify with him. They're familiar with him, and it's just a great story that he's really gotten as good as he's ever been as a 7-year-old, which is such a remarkable, rare thing that you know. So from there's a lot of different angles going on there. I think that's a horse that if fans were in the house, that they'd be all over this guy, and they'd be, you know, huge fans of him.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the disappointments because, as I say, to me, all of the divisions this year are playing out very well, and we're going to see a lot of that play out up here. And, you know, fans aren't allowed, but we will do our best to bring it to you. Speaking of racing, we kicked it off yesterday and talked about the opening day a little bit earlier on the handicapping show. Jose Ortiz comes up with 3. John Velasquez, I think, is riding very well right now. He's got a couple of winners. And I mentioned Tyler Gaffleone. I think it's going to be interesting to watch. Given what he did down in Kentucky in the springtime, it'll be fun to watch him meet. Linda Rice comes up with a couple of winners to kick off the meet. Chad wins the Peter Pan yesterday. So it was a nice start on the human side, certainly.
Yeah, and like specifically Tyler, I mean, anything, you know, I think Mark Cassie has a lesser presence here this year because of the travel, and a lot of people have done that. Wayne Lucas isn't here this year for the first time in like over 40 years. But I think Tyler will be getting on, you know, Mark's good stuff, whatever he's got up here and whatever he's going to bring in. So Tyler, I think, would be a key guy to look at for the meet. As far as yesterday, I thought it was appropriate that Chad Brown won the Peter Pan because he could speak very well to the fact that there's no fans here. He's a Mechanicville kid, and his family's been using the same picnic table next to the same tree for, like, his whole life, and he's 40 or whatever he is. He's going to kill me if he's 38. But I thought that was appropriate for him to win the feature so that he could kind of be the face of what the horseman's side of it is going through and experiencing with no fans being in the crowd, because that really, you know, touches close to home for him, like literally.
Let's hit on the stakes. I pulled up the replays from yesterday. The Schuylerville kicked off the stakes action for the 2-year-old fillies, and the story here was the Cassie favorite who was pulled up, Beautiful Memories, who I understand walked off the track. I think she was fine, but she did get pulled up. But subsequently, a little bit of an upset with Day Out of the Office getting it done at 19-1, running second, Make Mischief at 16-1. The other Mark Cassie horse, Day Out of the Office, is the number 7, Make Mischief the number 1, Hopeful Princess the number 8 in here. But she runs away and kind of hides from this field. This was a pretty nice performance from an out-of-towner trained by Tim Hand.
Yeah, I didn't really know anything about the horse going in. I will say that this is an opportunity for me to mention that the accommodations for the press, which are different, we're in the Turf Terrace restaurant now, open air, and usually I'm in the Gazette Annex in the back of the press box, and I watch the races on the monitor, you know, unless I'm on the roof or something like that. Well, being in the Turf Terrace, I was actually could watch Beautiful Memories get hosed off and walk up the track, which, you know, I wouldn't have seen if I was in my usual place in the press box. So there are certain advantages to, I mean, it took a pandemic for me to finally get a table at the Turf Terrace, but it worked. I mean, it worked
too,
for
come
me.
To think of it.
It worked for me yesterday because, you know, I mean, I was just sitting there and I could see she was okay. And she, you know, the outrider went and looked at her and checked her out and everything. And then they took Grover and they had a hose. This is out by the 8th pole.
Yeah.
And she was fine, and they walked her back to the track, so you knew, like, right away. And typically I wouldn't have had that view, but, those baby races, it's not unusual to see some bomb come up because they're so lightly raced that you don't have a lot of ammunition when you're trying to handicap these things beyond pedigree.
Yeah, it looked good. You would
training.
Think it probably comes back in one of the stakes a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Country Grammar, you mentioned Chad was talking after, and I will end this segment. I pulled up a little video from Chad after the race, so we'll hear from Chad talking about that and what you mentioned, just no fans. But he wins with Country Grammar, the number 2 horse. Caracaro, I thought, ran well, though. You know, lightly raced, and I think this is a horse with maybe a little upside potential as well. But Country Grammar, as you watch the replay, will be the number 2 horse. And again, it's a nice little duel where Caracaro kind of takes the lead, and you thought was going to have this race in the bag. But sneaking up the rail, it's Irad Ortiz and gets it done here as they get under the wire, a chart margin of a neck. And Chad said after the race they will obviously, coming out of the newly Saratoga eyes, probably just for this year, Peter Pan, we'll take a look at the Travers with Country Grammar.
Yeah, I think there was a little contact there inside the 16th pole. I don't know how much impact it had on the outcome, but Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that he brought that right up. It seems like the logical thing to do, but he's coming back in 3 weeks, which is, you know, a little different, too.
Un-Chad-like.
Yeah, un-anybody-like, really.
In the 21st
and
century.
These days,
yeah.
Right. But it's the same gap between the Preakness and the Belmont. So, I mean, if you have a good three-year-old, you probably want to, you know, address that timing, that spacing at some point. And, you know, circumstantially, like, I'm not sure what else he would point toward, really. I mean, and I don't know how many points. Would he get 50 for the Peter
Pan? Yeah, I think it's a 100-point race.
He's probably...
I don't know what the race yesterday was.
It might have been 20. Whatever it was, he might need another qualifying point. He might need more points to be thinking about the Derby. But between the Travers and the Derby, I'm not sure what's out there. Obviously this horse isn't thinking about that, but you know, the Haskell spacing, it kind of creates some weird issues too. I mean, everything's strange and different, and there's a lot of adjusting going on with
that's true.
The calendar.
I mean, with the Derby being the first Saturday in September, the options at this point are fairly limited. Haskell tomorrow, and the Ellis Park has a Derby that's going to have some points to it. That may be some second stringers, but yeah, if you got a first stringer, you're going to wind up.
I mean, if nothing else, if you wheel him back in 3 weeks and he runs well enough to run in the Derby, then you have extra time between the Travers. Well, I mean, not extra, but a comfortable amount of time anyway.
The more acceptable in the 21st century. Before I let you go, I wanted to touch on, because you wrote about it, and I know a lot of people followed Bill Heller and his selections in the Daily Gazette, but he is retired from the handicapping side.
Yep, 25 years at the Gazette and a few more before that. It's a couple other joints. I talked to Bill the other day. He's still very active as a writer. He's writing for a bunch of publications, including Trainer Magazine. I wish I could have included all the stories. That space, you know, prevented that. We had a nice long chat. He told some amazing stories. But you know, the big one was his first trip ever to Saratoga when he was in college at Albany State. He was a junior. And some guy had a car and said, "Hey, let's go up to Saratoga. I hear there's a racetrack up there." And the first one they ran into was the harness track, and it was dark, or they weren't racing at that time. So they're like, "Well, what the heck?" You know, so they asked around and said, "Oh, yeah, no, there's another track." And they were just astonished that one town could have two racetracks in it. And came over here. They got here like the fifth or sixth race. And, oh, by the way, Secretariat's running in the hopeful today. And he said he was like 9 wide around the turn. He was in third place going into the turn, and he was way in front coming off of it. And it just knocked his socks off and really, you know, created this passion that he had for the sport. And then
welcome to horse racing. And 26 books later.
26 books, 17 of which were about racing. So, so that was kind of like the trigger for him.
So, Mike, coverage all meet long in the Daily Gazette.
I'll be here every day, probably with a couple stories. A feature I'm writing off of the Times Day Top thing is that his regular exercise rider is a woman from Ukraine, which I've been coming here since 87. I've never heard of anybody that actually works at the track from Ukraine, so that's very interesting. So I'm sitting down and talking to her, Olha, on Sunday, so we'll have that feature going. But in the meantime, I got a feature on Times Day Top going in tomorrow, and then we'll think of something tomorrow.
Yeah, very good. Mike McAdam, again, great coverage every day in the Daily Gazette and has been doing it for years now. Mike, appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Seth.
All right, we'll take a break. Pat McKenna will join us after the break, but going into the break again, caught up with Chad Brown outside the winner's circle after the Peter Pan yesterday. Talked a little bit about country grammar, but he also talked just a little bit about how it was very different here yesterday. No fans at what is essentially his home racetrack. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Gave him a beautiful ride. He took advantage of his inside post. He trains that way. He's a bit of a grinder. He's a long distance horse. We've been wanting to get him back out to a mile and an eighth, where he has his only win was at a mile and an eighth. And additionally, his last race, you know, this horse just never really trained good at Belmont. We ran him there because that's where he was and all, but he just doesn't like the track too much. And he had a nice work over the track last week here, and you know, we're optimistic he was going to run much better.
You like the track here. It could be next to something bigger.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the logical thing is to point him to the Travers at a mile and a quarter. I don't think he'll problem with the distance, but to see if he's good enough. But he's an improving horse. He hasn't run many times, so I think there's room for improvement here. And it's a race that we had hoped to get him to, and I'll talk to Mr. Pompa about it.
It is Country Grammar on the inside and Caracaro on the outside. And Caracaro now takes the lead. Country Grammar continues to battle on down at the rail with a 16th of the finish. Caracaro and Country Grammar, and they're putting on a heck of a stretch duel here in the Peter Pan, and Country Grammar has won it.
You know, it's really nice to win this race, but, you know, definitely a bittersweet day with, you know, this beautiful place is empty where I grew up. So, you know, just try to get through the meet, you know, hold out hope. Maybe it'll open up more a little bit during the meet, but there's definitely no guarantees about that. So, you know, just do the best we can, you know, thankful they're running here at least. And, you know, hopefully it's the only year we have to do this. Really just trying to focus on business, keeping everyone safe, you know, first and foremost our employees. And everyone, and Naira's really done a good job of, it feels very safe on the backside training in the morning. And a lot of you have been out there, you know, it's well organized. It's, you know, I just think it's a very safe environment, and hopefully we can build off it and start to let more and more people in.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of ranch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
I got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. As promised before the break, we are joined now by the Naira Director of Communications, Pat McKenna. Pat, good morning.
Morning. How are you, Seth?
Very good. Happy to be here. Happy to have you here. Yesterday was a little strange, a little surreal.
Yeah, I guess we got a little accustomed to it down at Belmont Park. But, yeah, a most unusual opening day. All that was so upside down, but what remains the same is world-class racing for the next, now, 39 days.
And I've been saying it now for a few weeks. Once racing got started again, there was some really good racing across the country, and horses like Tom's Day Tot and Midnight Bijou and Monomoy Girl and more. I think every division this year is very strong, and it's really going to play into the stakes schedule up here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a revised and reordered stakes schedule. Rest assured, we'll have the finest equine athletes and riders, and it should be a good meet.
Talk a little bit about, before we get to Saratoga specifically, the last couple of months for Naira, last 3 months really, where you guys went on the break, and, you know, I'm sure it wasn't really a break for you guys because you had to be kind of working on plans to come back to racing and how that was going to work, and then Belmont and the Belmont Stakes in a different spot. And then you had to re-gear and kind of figure out the schedule for Saratoga and how that was all going to work. So just talk about, you know, as you hit the shutdown and then what mode you went into to get back to racing.
Yeah, I mean, just incredible uncertainty during those early days in March. I have vivid memories of that Wednesday when the NBA was starting to cancel games at halftime with people in the stands, when the Big East tournament canceled the entire tournament at halftime of a game. It seems almost incomprehensible, but that became the norm there for about 24 hours. We were able to continue racing it at Aqueduct actually that weekend, so it was March 13th through the 15th, I believe, without spectators. At that point in time, New York State mandated gatherings no larger than, first it was 500 people, then it was no larger than 250 people, which allowed us to run without spectators, with only essential personnel in place, and racing officials. So racing participants, racing officials you know, we were able to do that safely and securely at Aqueduct during that weekend. And then we encountered our first positive case on the following Thursday. We immediately suspended racing. That was prior to the governor's executive order putting New York State on pause in order to, and at that point, I think everyone knew so little about this, you know, this virus, that the responsible course of action was to be cautious. We suspended racing to devote all of our energies and resources to caring for the backstretch community of Belmont. Did it, you know, the folks on the ground at Belmont, NYTHA, you know, senior NYRA leadership on the phone multiple times a day. We developed our own facilities in order to manage and mitigate risk in that community. So at that point, you know, and it, again, it even seems like ancient history now, but very quickly, New York State decided that Aqueduct would be a reasonable location for a temporary field hospital, which luckily didn't end up happening because the hospital bed capacity withstood the biggest surge in New York City. But again, just as sort of a data point that now seems like luckily to be in the back, you know, in the rearview mirror when it comes to New York State. So following that, you know, engaged in close and serious dialogue with the New York State Gaming Commission, with New York State, when it became apparent to us through our experience, through the health and safety protocols we had in place, that we were then in a position to resume live racing. So that was a process, rightly so, that was dictated by the state. You know, great news from the governor in late May when he announced that all racetracks would be authorized to resume live racing without spectators as of June 1st. For us at Belmont Park, that meant June 3rd. It was an emotional day to come back after everything that we had been through downstate, that the backstretch community had been through. You know, those are our frontline workers. Those are our essential staff, without whom not only would we not have been able to open at Belmont, we wouldn't be sitting here today. And that's not that's not to over-dramatize the situation, but, you know, these horses need care. And these folks that were providing that essential service throughout the height of the pandemic, showing up to work every day, you know, all the credit in the world for their professionalism, for their dedication. Opened up, you know, I'll never forget Johnny I's call, pro sports in New York City are back, pro sports in New York are back. An emotional day, to be honest with you. You know, whenever that point was, when Churchill Downs announced that they would go ahead and push the Derby all the way to September 5th, focusing on their desire to have fans in the seats. You know, from that moment, I think that the senior leadership at NYRA recognized that we wanted to commit ourselves to running the Belmont Stakes as close to June 6th, the originally scheduled date, as possible. And that's for a couple of different reasons. You know, horsemen, you know, to be able to commit to that, this quintessentially New York event, let's support the New York racing community. Let's put on a heck of a television show with our partners at NBC Sports. And you mentioned at the top of the interview here, unusual, strange, odd. That was absolutely the feeling on Belmont Day down at Belmont Park. But at the same time, to see, you know, to have people be able to come together wherever they were in the country, watch some terrific racing, wager, have a little bit of normalcy in this incredibly uneven period of time. So really successful meet at Belmont in the end. You know, Paramutual handle was strong, which is a great barometer of the quality of the racing on track. So, you know, and that's why we tend to highlight some of those all sources numbers. And that's not to toot our own horn. It's first and foremost to recognize that those numbers aren't possible without the horse players. And that it's a great barometer of, again, the quality of the racing that you see in places like Belmont Park and in Saratoga. So incredibly well supported. And then transition up here, an opening day like no other yesterday. I think I saw in multiple headlines from Tim Wilkin and Mike McAdam, who you just had on, and Dave Grenning, all the hardworking reporters covering the sport. And again, providing an indispensable service for everyone who unfortunately can't be here with us on site.
Yeah, the old press box, the situation, I was talking with Mike about it, we're kind of up in the turf terrace and outside and spaced apart much differently than we would be in the normal press box. And there's a little bit of a different situation after the races for interviewing people, but all very understandable. You talked about down at Belmont and during the quarantine period, I'll toss in just watching and reading the racetrack chaplaincy did great work on the backstretch and the backstretch employees. And you talked about NYTHA. So, and that's kind of what came out of it as well. And I had somebody I was talking to somebody yesterday. I can't think of who it was now, but just talked about a Will from the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, who said it was just nice to see everybody in the industry come together at a time like that and all just try to figure out how to best make it work out.
Yeah, exactly. We have, I mean, the nonprofits, the service providers on the backstretch, Best, the racetrack chaplaincy, Paul Ruchames at Best, Humberto Chavez, the chaplain, who's really a field general for everything that takes place in the backstretch. That did, on some level, feel like a crisis response for many weeks on end. And, you know, while Paul is managing the health and well-being of backstretch workers through the Best Clinic, you know, Humberto has the ability to sort of broaden the scope and was doing a ton with the food pantry, being able to distribute supplies, being able to keep people fed well, you know, keep those spirits in good order, you know, totally indispensable. And Will's absolutely correct, you know, to be able to see this is a community. We talk about it quite often. And you heard this common refrain throughout the last few months, we're in this together, no more evident than our experience down at Belmont Park. I mean, Joe Applebaum at NYTHA, people like Will doing the day-to-day work to keep everyone in close communication so that we could respond. And ultimately, you know, I would challenge anyone to find a business that's more experienced in dealing with the challenges of this crisis than you know, than NYRA, than our individual tracks. And again, it's what paved the way for us to be here, is that like almost no other business I can think of, we've had these health and safety protocols in place since very early in March. We're not starting up. We're not Major League Baseball, who you can imagine, I can certainly imagine, trying to implement these steps whole cloth, virtually on the fly. I mean, those numbers are, you know, are daunting. So we're thrilled to be here. You know, a lot of credit to the Saratoga Springs community for welcoming us with open arms.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because there was a press conference on Tuesday, and I was over and take that, and we showed that yesterday. But I know just because of NYRA and how important you are to the local economy and whatnot, and how you appreciate the fans up here to play into your economy, there's a nice partnership between you and the city and the county and whatnot. And so I'm sure on a year-to-year basis, there is plenty of contact and plenty of back and forth between NYRA and the locals. But I'm assuming that was ramped up a little bit this year with the situation. And so talk a little bit about working with the city over the past few weeks.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, at this point, the size and scale of the annual summer meet isn't something that you can sort of turn on and off come May or June. You know, the way the calendar works, we're focused on the Belmont Stakes for, you know, a period of time. But at this point, you know, we have year-round staff up here in Saratoga. This facility, the addition of things like the 1863 Club, those aren't, you can't just turn off the lights and come Labor Day and show back up in May and expect things to be in good working order. So you have that element of it. And then layer on the crisis response, the pandemic response. So that obviously spurred on, you know, serious conversations with Saratoga County, with Saratoga Springs, with public safety officials who you saw at the press conference you mentioned on Tuesday, public health officials. And, you know, out of those conversations, at least in part, NYRA committed to testing every single individual who would be working at this facility, which is an incredibly important step. We like to talk about, people in my position love to talk about health and safety protocols, procedures, wearing a mask, washing your hands, keeping socially distanced and physically distanced. Those are all important. They pale in comparison to testing. And that is the center of all efforts to mitigate risk. So on Monday and Tuesday of last week at Belmont Park, we did a mass testing of somewhere in the neighborhood of 900 individuals, backstretch workers, NYRA employees, in order for you to be here as a member of the media. Everyone at the facility who's here in any kind of regular basis has been tested, which provides us with a baseline. So once you know, just like Major League Baseball with their 4,000 person intake period, once you know you're negative for COVID, then it provides you the ability to monitor yourself, behave responsibly, and then should you have any kind of a symptom or any kind of a concern, then you know that you need to stay home, you need to go and seek some medical treatment, whatever the case may be. So credit to Saratoga Springs for working with us on that. You know, Naira went above and beyond any kind of state mandate or state recommendation. But even some of the issues that may sound small any other year, you know, fan access here on Nelson Avenue, that's an unfortunate piece of news that we, you know, we had to talk about and you know, responsibly, you know, needed to talk about on Tuesday. We put up some privacy screens. You know, you can still see some of the action, but the point is we need to discourage folks from congregating in large groups on Nelson Avenue, on Union Avenue. Listen, the support for this meet, for Saratoga Racecourse, is always humbling to everyone at Naira. These are not decisions that anyone wants to make, to discourage fans from walking around the property. Think about that. It's you know, it's contrary to everything that we want to do. But you know, that was a recommendation from the Saratoga Springs public safety folks, because it's not a great place to have hundreds of people peering over the fence. But it's a true partnership. We wouldn't, you know, as this meet continues to grow, as it continues to change and evolve, and luckily with the support of, I think, some of the best and most passionate fans that you'll find in any sporting environment anywhere in the world.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about, you've hit on the protocols, and we've talked about it here amongst us as we've been here the past week or so. Come in, and there's a temperature check, and your credential shows that you've had the negative test and everything. And so, and then as you go around, I should note, on the set, we are physically, we are socially distanced. We've gone to the two box because the first week we were kind of on the far side. We were barely making it onto the TV screen. So we've gone to the new two box, but you can rest assured we are socially distanced here. But otherwise, you're walking around, you're wearing the mask and whatnot. So there are clearly protocols in place, as there should be, and it's just good for racing, and we're up and racing, and so try to keep everything safe. But there has been a little bit of a change over the past couple of days. Talk about owner's access now.
Sure, and I'll even take it one day before. As the situation, unfortunately, continues to change so rapidly in states across the country, we've seen the challenges in states like Florida, Texas, and California, most notably, where cases continue to rise in a way that's concerning to everyone. We took the step to limit, restrict jockey travel so that the Naira Jockey Colony, our regular riders that everyone is familiar with, the folks that are based here, can no longer travel out of New York, out of the jurisdiction, to race without jeopardizing the rest of their summer here. They're essentially locked down here. We've created a bit of a bubble similar to what sports fans have heard about, you know, with the NBA or elsewhere. Out-of-town riders will also not be allowed to travel to Saratoga, and the stipulation is that once the meet started yesterday, you know, if you rode anywhere else beginning yesterday, July 16th, then you're not going to be allowed to join the jockey colony here in Saratoga. If you've not ridden, for example, if your first mount, for whatever the case may be, would be Saturday or Sunday, so long as you didn't ride Thursday or Friday anywhere else, then you would have the ability to seek to join the colony. But that was that became a very common sense safety
given
measure.
What happened out in Southern California, I mean, everybody was going to go that way.
You hope everyone gets well soon, and that places like Del Mar, that are also iconic racing venues, sporting venues, can get up and running as quickly as possible once they get past these challenges. So we did that, and that was fully supported by the riders, by the Jockeys Guild, by Terry Meeks, who runs the Jockeys Guild, by Joe Applebaum at NYFA. These guys want to stay working. They want to stay in business. Again, we never want to deprive anyone of economic opportunity, but at this point, the what you're thinking of the entire meet. So we took that step a couple of days ago. Late Wednesday afternoon, the New York State Gaming Commission updated their guidance when it comes to racetrack attendance to allow for a limited number of owners. And it is a very limited number, no guests of owners. So anyone in any ownership group needs to be licensed by the New York State Gaming Commission as an owner in New York State, badged by NYRA. So, but I think that updated guidance acknowledges the important role that owners play in the sport. It's a little bit different. Folks outside may not understand that, yes, there is a large community of owners, and they're absolutely vital to the economic well-being of the sport. They should have the opportunity to see their horses in the morning, and luckily now they'll have an opportunity to see their horses race in the afternoon. So to your point about health and safety protocols, you know, the science is clear. There's nothing more important than wearing these masks when you can't socially distance. For us, that means anywhere on the property, indoors, outdoors. It's difficult to do these kinds of interviews with the mask on, and luckily you guys have this space allotment. But those, first and foremost, wear a mask, keep distant, stay outdoors as much as possible. That was the point of the outdoor press box and the turf terrace that we established yesterday and will have in place throughout the meet. And then, you know, it is about personal responsibility as well when you leave the track in the evening. Unfortunately, these are the kinds of conversations that everyone needs to have, because we're not necessarily past this, right? There will be continued challenges, and it's up to each and every one of us to rise to those challenges and to do the right thing, which means wear a mask, wash your hands, stay outdoors as much as possible. And again, we'll get through this together. And as I said yesterday, a bunch of different times, you know, you start to look forward to an opening day in 2021, the greatest celebration in the history of Saratoga, with any luck.
It will be. Well, I will ask you, and I'm not going to hold you to it, but are there discussions? Is it still, are some kind of limited fan participation, is that in the discussion at least?
I think that Dave O'Rourke, the president and CEO of NARA, has answered this and, you know, pretty well in the course of the lead up to the meet, including yesterday. I think everyone was much more optimistic 3 or 4 weeks ago as we entered this period where in New York we've done such a good job under the leadership of Governor Cuomo and the State Department of Health and all those folks that are on the front lines of this fight of flattening the curve. You know, we've seen unbelievable response in New York City downstate, where I was, where we were. But as these, no state is an island, no location is immune from these challenges. So with, you know, with this rapid rise in places like Florida and Texas and throughout the region, you can understand why the cautious approach would be to keep these restrictions in place. What we can do at NYRA, since these decisions are rightly left to public health officials, elected officials, is be prepared. So should we come to a point where this curve is flattened in other locations to allow for a limited number of spectators, then we will absolutely be ready. And that would be a positive for the community, for our fan base. But I would probably leave it there.
And you know, you talked about things have changed really in the last week or two as a thought process, and this whole thing is so fluid. It's really hour by hour. So
exactly.
It's hard to predict anything. I just want you to hold up your mask again. Sure. Aren't those for sale? Aren't those charity? Can't you find them around town?
Yeah.
NYRA mask, Saratoga mask?
Yeah, these are Saratoga Racecourse themed face masks that we announced a partnership with originally two local charities, Shelters of Saratoga, and then an additional nonprofit right outside here at the gates. I want to say about a month ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the response was, again, like all things Saratoga, so enthusiastic that we did another order, added two additional charities, one that supports childhood nutrition here in Saratoga Springs. They have not shipped yet. I believe they're going to be shipping any day, but yeah, shop.nyra.com. Proceeds go directly to those four charities, most importantly. And they're pretty great. Hopefully won't be necessary, you know, for next year, but you know, I'd recommend them, and a great way to support local charities doing important work.
Pat, appreciate you coming over, and you know, we'll try to plug in once or twice as the meet goes along and kind of update things. Oh, we didn't. You mentioned the great handle down at Belmont, but I don't think we mentioned a good handle here yesterday for opening day.
Yep, about 21% above what we did last year. You'll remember though, last year was rainy and soggy. It was the first Thursday we opened. It was, you know, really unusual in retrospect. You know, the challenges that we went through last year pale in comparison to this. I can recall.
Well, that's nothing.
I mean, being in this bubble, first Thursday, all the eyes are on you. Did you make the right decision, the wrong decision? You know, these kinds of things put all that stuff in pretty stark relief. But again, really, really great response from the horse players that are watching you day to day, and thanks to them for supporting the product and playing through NYRA bets and supporting the horsemen, and as a result, you know, continue to do well on that, within that aspect of
It has put everything in perspective, certainly. But, Pat, appreciate your stopping by. And again, good luck and congratulations so far on the restart of racing in New York. I think Belmont went very well. Expect the same up here at Saratoga. And we're wishing you a lot of good luck going forward. As I say, we'll get you over here once or twice more as we go through the meet and get a little update as we go along. But appreciate your visit this morning.
Thanks so much, Seth.
Pat McKenna, Director of Communications here at the New York Racing Association. We'll take a break. When we come back, John Signor, president of Capital OTB. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play. In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, president of Capital OTB, John Signor, joins me now. John, good morning.
Seth, how are we doing?
Very
good.
Good
to see you.
Very good. We'll talk a little bit about the changes and the updates for OTB, because we went through the kind of the pandemic period with shutting branches down, as was mandated by the state, but now things are kind of up and running as well. But just talk overall a little bit about the lockdown period.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, and I was, you know, reliving it a little bit, listening to Pat go through what Naira went through, and really, just the congratulations to Naira. I just said it to Pat as he was leaving, just, I'm getting up here. You know, so many other venues are having issues, you know, obviously out in California. Naira did the right thing by locking it down, you know, keeping the jockeys here, keeping them in a bubble, and they've done a great job, and provided a great product for us at Belmont and here at Saratoga. So we're happy they're here, because when they're here, we do well. So I'm very happy there's racing at Saratoga as far as for Capital OTB, and I'm sure and Naira's happy as well, because they're gonna do better as well. But as far as Capital OTB, yeah, we had to shut down all our locations. We were able to keep open our internet wagering site and our Touchtone betting site.
The one slight advantage we had, and I was kind of, you know, I was thinking about it as I was driving up here, was, you know, we're 365 days a year, 24 hours, 7 days a week. And during this slowdown period, when most of the big tracks were closed, we were still there. We were still providing content. And, you know, with Gulfstream and Oaklawn and obviously the Will Rogers and the Fauner Parks. You know, funny story about Fauner Park. I mean, we took Fauner Park probably years ago, and we were doing so little handle that we just decided not to take them anymore. So when it came around, there were only a few tracks. Suddenly I see the Fauner Park in Nebraska, wherever the heck it is. And I went on, we didn't know how to get it. I think I looked on a website trying to find them, and I couldn't find them. They had no website. So I went on Twitter, and they had a Twitter account. I contacted the individual on Twitter. It happened to be the president of Fauner Park. And we had a contract in like 2 days, and we were up and running with Fauner Park, a track we probably on a good day previously we would do $1,000 a day. We were doing $40,000 a day.
They had $100 million handle.
Unbelievable. So, but you know what? They raced and provided content, and it was great for everybody in the racing industry. And it also showed that you could race and do it safely. And Gulfstream was huge. Oaklawn, you know, I mean, a lot of tracks stayed and continued to race, and without them, we would have had no product. And you know, I'm very happy that our TV station was available to the Capital Region, was providing content at a time when people were staying home, right? I mean, there were stay-at-home directives.
It was the sports option for a while.
It was the only thing going, and we were, you know, the main station to watch the races, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy we could provide that service, and we continue, you know, and now here we are in the Saratoga meet, and we're giving and thank Naira for allowing us to be up here, Dave O'Rourke and his team. For allowing us to be on the backstretch and provide the 3 hours of programming we do every day. I mean, you know, one thing we've talked about a little bit, Seth, and internally is, you know, we want to be able to bring the track to the public. We feel we do that anyway every year, but in this crazy year that we're dealing with, even more so this year. And I'm happy we're able to do that. I'm happy that Naira allowed us on the backstretch, and I think we put a good product out. I think, you know, we promote the track. Usually we're saying, come to the track. You know, that's the irony of it, right? We're usually sitting here saying, hey, you know, it's a beautiful day. Come to the track. Great racing. It's a weird, weird year. But bottom line is bet on Saratoga, bet through Capital OTB bets. You know, there's other options out there. We think we have, one of the best sites. The good thing is if you're in the Capital Region, you bet with us. You know, we provide money to local governments, to Albany County, Rensselaer County, Saratoga County. Everybody gets a piece of the pie from if you're wagering through Capital OTB. And you're helping support the TV station that brought you all that great content when you were at home. So very happy with what we've been able to do. We're now, you know, now we're kind of past the COVID, not past COVID, but OTB branches are now open. We're at 50% capacity. We're following all the protocols, all the CDC guidelines, the spacing, the social distancing, people are required to wear masks. We have sanitizer. We're wiping down machines and surfaces on a daily basis, you know, and on an hourly basis. So we're happy that, you know, our branches are open. You know, if you want to bet the Saratoga meet, we have a lot of locations open, our easy bets, our branches. We have a new, and we were going to touch on this, but I'll just mention it. We have a new easy bet. I have a lot of friends who are in Lake George. They go up on the lake. They got boats. But we have a new location up there, Duffy's, right on the main drag overlooking Lake George. So if you're up there, yep, perfect. If you're up in Lake George, we have a new location. We'd like you to stop by.
The sign, outside Tiki Bar.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's a great location, and I think it's going to do very well for us. So So if you're up there and you're looking to get some action, and who isn't, you can wager at Duffy's Tavern. And we have a bunch of other locations throughout our region. You go on CapitalOTB.com to find them. So.
Yeah, you can't come here. So, again, we hopefully here on the network, we're going to bring a little of the track to you, which we try to do every year. You, as the president, are very supportive. I know the Capital OTB Board of Directors very supportive of the network, and because of that, I'm kind of the face that's over there on the front side a lot or around town. I get a lot of great feedback. People appreciate the network, and we'll try to do that. It's going to be a little bit different this year, but I guarantee it will still be as informative and as entertaining, and you will enjoy it. But we'll try to bring the track to you. But not only that, folks can go to the racebook. We have our TV studios in the back of the racebook down on Central Avenue. It's been open now for a couple of weeks. Yep. It's good to see some of the familiar faces. So the branches are a great place to go and hang out with some of your buddies and watch the races. Again, there is the social distancing, and bring a mask in. But when you're sitting down with a couple of your friends, you can take the mask off and watch the races and enjoy that way. But we'll also be up here in Saratoga on a few occasions.
Yeah.
With some on-the-road events. I think that's going to be fun, with some watch parties starting tomorrow across the street at the Horseshoe.
Yeah. I think that's going to be fun. So, yeah, we worked with some local restaurants and bars, and we're going to be doing live TV remotes at different locations throughout Saratoga. Tomorrow at the Horseshoe, we're also going to be at Saratoga National for three stints, if you will. We're going to be at Embassy Suites as well, twice, I think, on Whitney Day and on Travers Day. And we're also going to be at Bailey's, I think, August 29th. There we go. Now, as you can see, we have a $500 live bankroll. In order to be part of that bankroll, you need an OTB account. So if you're going to come to one of the one of the live remotes, you want to have an OTB account so you can be part of the bankroll, part of the action, part of the fun that's going to be going on. We're going to have other giveaways and contests and things like that. But yeah, that should be fun. We did it one year at, I don't know if it was the post party or something, where we went to Saratoga National for every day after the meet or something. I think we did it from like 6 to 7 or something. But this is going to be different, where we're going to be there during the racing. We're going to be promoting the location. We're going to have live, they're going to be live on our TV station. We'll probably be interviewing some of the, some of the restaurateurs, if you will. So yeah, it's exciting. It's fun. And this is the year to do it. And I'm looking forward to that as well. It's something different, but we'll be out with the fans and mingling and providing, again, not only our TV station, but another service where we're providing them with some content and some entertainment. So yeah, looking forward to that.
The branches and the racebook, obviously the great option most of the days of the week. But if you want to come up and be in Saratoga, that'll be one of the options some of the days. Again, I'll be spaced out pretty much every week. There'll be a spot where we're on the road. And it was kind of fun a couple of weeks ago when we were on the road over at Pinnell's with the watch party with Jack.
You know what? Absolutely. I meant to, to talk about that a little bit when we were talking about OTB TV. But yeah, I mean, Belmont Stakes Day, and I'm going to give Brian, always says I take credit for everything, but I'm going to give Brian credit for this one. Brian Dorenzo, TV. We were trying to find out what we were going to do on Belmont Stakes Day, and we found out that
normally we're down there.
Normally we're down there, and I don't know, maybe we could have been down there again, but
this was better, I think.
Absolutely. So we were live at Pinnell's with the Sakatoga Stable watch party. I reached out to Jack Knowlton. We discussed it. Shannon's good friends with the owner of Pinnell's. And they were like, sure, come by. And, from our vantage point, here we are, 5 minutes before the Belmont Stakes, we're interviewing the managing partner of Sakatoga Stable. Then 5 minutes after the race, or maybe a little longer, he had to do some other stuff with NBC. But we had Jack on after, and we interviewed some other folks, I think Larry Davis and some other folks.
Bruce Cerrone, prior to Pinnell's.
At Pinnell's, is part of the owner too, sure. So, and Jack is great for racing. He's great for the area. I know him pretty well. And actually, I bought into a couple of horses years ago with him. And very happy to see him reemerge. And they're buying, now they're buying, you know, I saw you, they bought some nice two-year-olds for, you know, $250,000 now. They got a, you know, they're flush with cash now, so they're out buying, which is nice. But nobody's better for the game. Nobody's a nicer guy than Knowlton. And the Sacatoga crew like to have a good time, fun time. And we were very happy to be part of that. And I'm glad that Pinnell's, who's been a longtime sponsor of ours, you know, and Jack allowed us to share that with them. And it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad we could do it.
And again, you've kind of alluded to it and mentioned it already, but we should remind people with no fans, sign up, get an account, because not only does that allow you those bankroll days where we're up here to participate in those, there are promotions throughout the month. There's going to be those Saturday syndicates. I think those sound like a lot of fun, where people can kind of jump in and get a piece of a $750 pick five ticket. Today, the bounty comes
bounty
back.
Bet.
You can play the bounty bet and maybe get a little shot at that. So there'll be a lot of promotions available throughout the month, and that's just part of the way that we here at Capital LTD say thank you to you folks who join up and play through Capital LTD Bet.
Yeah, and I would just add, I mean, if you're betting with an out-of-state betting site, I mean, really? Bet with that Capital LTD, bet with NYRA. You know, why are you betting with an out-of-state betting site, internet betting site? There's no reason to do that. You should be supporting New York, support New York Racing, support the entities that are giving you the product, giving you the TV station you can watch it on. So that's, you know, I would say if you have an out-of-state ADW, you should look to either open up a Capital OTB account or a NYRA Bets account. So,
and again, great promotions and rewards programs and whatnot. So certainly look into it. CapitalOTBBet.com, CapitalOTB.com. John, we want to hit on anything? Oh, one more thing. We're back in the TU this year, where again, last few years it's come down to really the last couple
of
days.
Yeah, yeah, that's fun.
Oh,
you know,
is today your day?
Today's my day. Yeah, my picture in the paper. So we'll see. Feel semi-confident. We'll see. But yeah, that's a lot of fun. The head-to-head matchups with the Times Union, and it, for whatever reason, it always seems to be the last week determines who comes out on top. Also, I would follow us on Twitter at Capital OTB. A lot of information. We put up a lot of picks. Just you know, promotions and all the information you'll need during the Saratoga meet, you know, the TV schedule, the, you know, we'll have more information on the live remotes. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting year for sure. It's kind of crazy. It's eerie up here trying to, you know, you look around and you don't see anybody on the backstretch or people, you know, hustling and bustling around, people from the horseshoe walking over. It's very strange. But congratulations to NYRA for getting the show, you know, for putting on the show. Again, I was listening to Pat McKenna walk through all the things they had to do in order to be here. And they've done a great job. They created their own bubble, and they put in the protocols to make sure that this thing will go on for 40 days. I would just say make sure, you know, we'll see what happens when sports comes back and everything else. But right now, it's almost like the, you know, less people at the track, but it's almost like the 70s all over, where horse racing is the only game in town, right? There's no casinos, no racinos, no sports betting. It's really a time when we can flourish. Again, if you're going to bet with, you know, if you're going to bet on the horses up here, bet with, you know, Capital OTB account, open up a NYRA Bets account, even Saratoga Bets. You know, look, we're all in this together, trying to do the best we can and provide good services to our racing fans. And there's been a lot of support. We've had a lot of support through the COVID issue. We've done fairly well. You know, basically all our employees have been hired back. So we're now at, you know, basically full strength, and we're looking forward to the next 39 days and beyond. I mean, that's the thing. You go, you know, it's then you have the Kentucky Derby, then you have the Preakness, then you have the, you know, the Breeders' Cup. So the second half of this year, the next 6 months, are going to be integral to how we do as a corporation. And, you know, we're optimistic. We've seen a good response to our accounts. We've seen a lot of people signing up. We appreciate that. That's not really said enough, but We appreciate the support we're getting from the racing fans by opening up capital OTB accounts.
Well, you talk about the employees coming back, and as I say, I worked on the Racebook normally in the studio, and it was good to see everybody at the Racebook come back to work. But it was great to see over the past couple of weeks a lot of familiar faces on the fan side.
Absolutely.
I was appreciating, and just as I walk out there on Saturdays and Sundays, there are a lot of the same familiar faces, and you sit there and chat and kind of compare notes on who you want to play and whatnot. So it's great to see those people come.
Yeah, and Pat talked a little bit about, you know, the opening couple of weeks at Saratoga last year. If you remember, it was, you know, rainy and hot and cancellations and this and that. But we were up yesterday too. Our opening day, I think we were up 26%. So we did fairly well. And, you know, had they been down at Belmont, those numbers wouldn't be there the same. So
there's clearly a cachet. The people who wondered why come up to Saratoga, there is a cachet. People like to play Saratoga.
Yeah, I mean, and people don't. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of smart people who said, they shouldn't come up to Saratoga. You know, they should be at Belmont, blah, blah, blah. Why are they coming up? You know, I always look at Gulfstream Park, what happened at Gulfstream Park. When Gulfstream took over the management of Calder, and they called it Gulfstream West, handle went up significantly just by putting the name Gulfstream. Same horses, same racetrack, same everything, except it said Gulfstream. There's nothing, but now clearly Saratoga racing is better than, you know, is better than Belmont. You're gonna, you know, you have the Travers, you have, you know, I mean, you have the stakes every day, you have you know, millions and millions of dollars in purses. So so that is the draw. But just the name Saratoga, and Naira knows this as well, the name Saratoga will significantly increase handle, and I hope it does for them. I hope it does for us. And as I said, I'm looking forward to a very a busy. That's the thing that people don't understand. Yeah, we were shut down. I don't think I've ever been busier in those 2 months trying to find ways to stay open, to, you know, to follow up on, you know, meet with the gaming commission, to you know, get the branches open, do the protocols, get the, you know, when can we open phase two, phase three, phase four. You know, I mean, we were busy, but fortunately we were able to get open, and business has been solid, and we're keep our fingers crossed. We're hoping for a strong Saratoga meet, and I wish that on everybody. I hope Naira has a great meet, and good luck to Dave O'Rourke, Pat McKenna, their team, Andy. I haven't seen Andy Serling in a while, but good luck to Andy. Andy
yesterday.
Used to be, huh?
I gave
him a ride. Oh, did you?
Yesterday.
All right. Well, Andy, you wanna? Hopefully, I'll meet up for a drink eventually during the meet. So, good luck to all those guys. Stabile is with us. I mean, we got a lot of guys back too. We got Sully back. We got Brian Nadal back. Dick Powell's doing play today on Talk 1300. You know, obviously, we got Mike. We got Anthony Mormino back. I mean, we got the whole stable back. The whole team's back. And
we haven't mentioned, if you go to the website, get a nice print of a one sheet too, with the selections every day, so keep that in mind.
Yep. And then our TV guys, you know, Danny and Dino and Brian and Mick do a tremendous job. I'm texting them all the time. I know they get annoyed by it, but they do a great job, and they're the ones that help put on the show, and it doesn't happen without them. So we're happy to be able to provide this service for the fans, and let's have a great 40 days.
Sounds good. That is certainly going to be the game plan. John, appreciate the visit. We'll certainly plug in back at the end of the meeting.
Keep up and keep up the great work. You've done tremendous up here. I very much appreciate the work you do on behalf of Capital OTB. You are kind of the face of OTB, but you love the game, and that exudes out of you. And happy to have you as doing the work you're doing.
I appreciate that. To try our best, and again, I will remind people you can come over and enjoy it with us tomorrow afternoon right across the street at the Horseshoe from 1 to 6. So as I say, John, we'll plug you back in at the end and get an update on how the
sounds
meet
good
and everything.
Appreciate we'll see you there. Hopefully we'll be talking about a great meet.
I have confidence that it's going to be very different, but I think at the end, certainly the racing is going to be great. I think the way it's shaped out over the past couple of months, all the divisions are very strong.
Yeah, and I always look at kind of how we're trending into the meet. I can generally tell by how, you know, our account wagering is doing and kind of how our branches are doing. And we're trending pretty well into this meet, so I'm hoping that the numbers will be strong and hope people open up accounts or people go to our branches and wager with us. So good luck out there to all the racing fans and win some money. Yesterday was a tough day, but all you need is a couple, hit a couple races, and you're right back in action.
You said that in handicappers before. One race, and it all goes away.
That's
John, appreciate it.
All right, take care, Seth.
All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Before I do, I want to hit on some of the promotions because we have a couple today. The Bounty Bet, $670. All you have to do is play the late pick five with your Capital OTB bet account, and you're in for all or part of that bounty. It's the late pick five today here at Saratoga. Again, play with your Capital OTB bet account. There's a Saratoga track bonus. Top 50 account holders, wagering account holders, will get a little bit of a bonus. That happens this afternoon. Again, tomorrow we're across the street at the Horseshoe. That's on the corner of Nelson and Gridley. We would love to see you. And Saturday there's the Syndicate. That's already been picked, but do keep in mind that's going to run throughout the meet. That's going to be a lot of fun, so keep that in mind. Check out the website for all the promos. John, do you want to toss something in?
Well, yeah, the Syndicate's new. Ooh, that's great. And I just want to, and you mentioned, Seth, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my board of directors. They've done, their support for everything we do up here is tremendous. They're fully in on, you know, they understand that, you know, we have to spend money to provide great services to our fans, and then it comes back in handle and loyalty and everything else. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our terrific board of directors and their support for everything we do. So none of this gets done without their support. So I just wanted to make sure.
Normally the board's up here. The
yeah, week, I mean, yeah. I can't remember the last time I wasn't at the track for opening day. I'm sure there's a lot of people saying the same thing.
Exactly,
so I guess we'll start a new streak next year.
Yeah. All right, we'll wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. We put 2 days in the books, 2 official days in the books. Day 2 is still ahead of us. Hopefully you make some money this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, handicapper support at 9 a.m. Brian Adell will be in tomorrow at 10 a.m. with Saturdays at the Spa. He expects to have Dave O'Rourke, the president of NYRA, tomorrow on the show, so you want to tune in for that. All right, we're wrapping it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Again, tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m., handicapper support. We'll see you then.
Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.